Well, welcome to Baptism Sunday. Praise God. This is our baptism service. So good to see all of you. If this is your first time, welcome to Restoration Church. Hallelujah. You know, it's been our tradition here on Thanksgiving to do baptisms every year. This is kind of our annual thing. Amen. We've been having a good time with it the last few years, but this is our baptism service. So I just want to take a few minutes this morning, and I ain't going to preach long. Come on, somebody. How come everybody I've said that to laughed? Amen. I'm almost done. Hang on. But listen, I just want to talk to you for a few minutes. I want to go to the book of Acts chapter 8. Say amen. The book of Acts chapter 8. And then we're going to quickly move after that. We're going to quickly move and we're going to baptize about 25 people right here during the middle of this service. Amen. Come on, let's give it up for all them that's going to be baptized this morning. And again, you probably didn't know you was going to get baptized, but just hang tight. So I want to take a chance, and I want to take this opportunity, and I want to just tell you and explain to you why we do what we do. Amen. Come on. There's a story in Acts chapter 8, and I don't have time to read it to you this morning, but it's the story of Philip. And in this story, it's the story of how there was a revival in Samaria. And they're out there doing all these miracles in Samaria. And the Lord spoke to Philip, and he speaks to him, and he says, I want you to go to the desert. I want you to leave Samaria. I want you to leave this revival where all the miracles are happening, where all this stuff is going on, and I want you to go to the desert. And so this preacher, this evangelist, Philip, he was a preacher. He's in the desert, and he doesn't understand why he's there, but he knows that he's waiting on something. Amen. And all of a sudden, he sees a chariot coming in his direction. Oh, come on, somebody. He sees a chariot coming in his direction in the middle of all the desert. What's the odds? Come on. How many of y'all know God's pretty cool? Four of you know. How many of y'all, rest of y'all know God's pretty cool? In the middle of all the desert, you got Philip in a chariot, just happened to intersect and meet. It's a miraculous story, guys. It's in Acts chapter 8. You got to read it. It's a miraculous story. The Bible says that there's a man, he is over the treasury of the nation of Ethiopia, and he is directly working under Queen Candace, who is over the entire nation of Ethiopia. Listen to me, this was a very, very powerful man. Amen. He was a very powerful man, and he just so happened to be allowing the horse to lead the chariot. It would have had to been leading, it would have had to have been on a trail or something. It would have had to have been, because the Bible says that he's on the chariot and he couldn't have been using the reins. I mean, they didn't have these. They didn't have these. So he couldn't have been using the reins, right? The Bible says he was reading Isaiah 53, watch. So obviously the horse knew its way to water or something. I don't know. He's obviously in this man. He just happens, guys, listen, to be reading the book of Isaiah chapter 53 and where it says that he will be led as a sheep to the slaughter. And then it goes on to talk about the stripes that he will receive on his back. And then this whole story, while he's reading this beautiful crucifixion Old Testament story, guys, listen, it is the Old Testament chapter, Isaiah chapter 53 crucifixion story. This man who is of another religion, he was from Ethiopia. He's reading the book of Isaiah and he's not understanding anything he's reading. Amen. And all of a sudden, Philip the evangelist, he hears the Spirit say to him, that's the man that I sent you to the desert for. He said, that's the man that I sent you to the desert for. Join yourself to him. So Philip runs, and while the horse is trotting along, here comes this preacher running upside him. Here's the chariot. Hey, come on, I'm working hard, y'all. He's up here. He's running upside him. The Spirit of the Lord told me to... Come on. Y'all need to read your Bible how I read my Bible. I can't read your Bible for you. But you need to read your Bible. The Bible says that he goes up running next to the chariot. Y'all can't embarrass me. I ain't afraid of your faces. I've already told you. Listen, the Bible says that he goes running next to the chariot. And here's the chariot. And this guy is setting up on top of this chariot. And he's reading Isaiah chapter 53. And here comes this preacher running right up next to it. It's an amazing story. You got to read it. And Philip, he says, hey, how you doing? All right, I'm just going to paraphrase. This is a Jamie version. Y'all hold tight. This. He runs up to him, says, hey, how you doing? What are you doing? What's going on? And he says, well, I'm reading this book. He said, I'm sitting here reading this book of Isaiah and about someone who will be wounded for my transgressions and bruised for my iniquities and the chastisement of my peace is going to be upon him. He said, but I don't understand a single thing that I'm reading. And Philip says, I have a PhD in Isaiah chapter 53. He says, I have a PhD in Isaiah chapter 53. Would you like for me to come aboard and explain it to you? He says, yeah, come on. Come on aboard. Get on up here. And he steps on that chariot. And by the time he gets through, I want you to listen to me very carefully because here's where I'm going. By the time he gets through with him, come on somebody. Watch. The Bible says in Acts 8:35 that he preached Jesus to him. The Bible says that he preached Jesus to him. And I'm just going to stop right there and preach for a minute. He preached Jesus to him. He showed him who Jesus was. He showed him that Jesus was the lamb that was going to be slaughtered for him. He did not preach politics. He did not preach economics. He did not preach nothing but Jesus Christ to this man. He got on that chariot. Oh, come on, somebody. He said, I ain't preaching culture to you. I'm not preaching nothing but Jesus, the name above every name and the only name that can save you. Amen. You got to understand it, church. He got on there and preached Jesus. And the Bible says that that man so believed on Jesus Christ so much. Watch verse 36. The Bible says they came to some water. Probably the only oasis in the desert. Y'all don't understand how cool God is. Probably the only body of water that was in the desert. Now watch. He said, they come to some water. And he says, what hinders me from being baptized right now? And maybe you're in here this morning. And I'm going to ask you the same question. What hinders you from being baptized today? What hinders you from being baptized today? There ain't nothing standing in the way. Come on, church. You've never been water baptized. What hinders you? You came to church this morning, you had no intentions. But I'm going to tell you, we got everything you need. We're going to remove all the obstacles. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you. Amen. He said, what hinders me? What hinders me from being baptized? Verse 37. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and he said that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I want you to listen to me very carefully. This man had never heard the gospel preached. And Philip had just preached it to him. He had never heard the gospel. Philip had just started preaching it to him, and instantly the Bible says in verse 38 that they both went down into the water and he gets baptized right there on the spot. Listen, they both, the Bible says, went down into the water. What a story. What a story. What a beautiful story. When it comes to baptism, guys, listen to me very carefully. We make two mistakes. There are those that say that baptism in water isn't that big of a deal because your salvation does not depend on it. I can be saved without being water baptized. Yes, you can, but you cannot obey the commandments of Jesus Christ. Amen. There are people say, That I don't have to be baptized. I can be saved without being baptized, but you cannot obey the commandments of Jesus Christ. And then there are those who say they go to this whole other extreme, and they go off and they say you cannot be saved unless you've been water baptized. And neither one of those are the correct way to see it. Neither one of them. Neither one of those are the correct way to see it. The first thing that Jesus did in his earthly ministry was be water baptized. Watch, Mark 1:10. And when he came out of the water, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And then a voice boomed from heaven, says, "You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased." But the first thing that he did in his earthly ministry, church, was be water baptized. And he modeled water baptism for you and I. It was the first thing he did. Woo, you're right. The first thing he did was modeled water baptism for you and I. And then the last thing that Jesus did after he died, he rose from the dead. He's on his way up to heaven on a cloudy elevator to intercede for you and me at the right hand of the Father. And his last words were Matthew 28:19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nation." Doing what? Doing what? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The last thing Jesus said, "I want you to be baptized, immersed in water. I want you to go down and I want you to come up completely in water through baptism." We dare not minimize what Jesus so emphasized. I said, church, we dare not minimize what Jesus so emphasized. Amen. The first thing he did in his earthly ministry was be water baptized. If it was so important that he started his ministry with it and he ended his ministry talking about water baptism, we dare not minimize what Jesus so greatly emphasized. Amen. Church, amen. Thank you for that rousing applause. We better not minimize what Jesus so greatly emphasized in our life, church. Amen. Why is this important? It's important to understand for you what water baptisms represents. Amen? It's important that both of them went down into the water in Acts chapter 8. They went down into the water. Amen? In other words, a biblical baptism is not a sprinkle. It's not a dab of water. It's not a splash of water. But there needs to be a certain amount of water if you're going to have a biblical baptism. I am not fighting other denominations here in any way whatsoever, anything like that. I'm just telling you that it's not in the Bible. A biblical baptism is immersion in water. Amen. Amen. Mark 1:9. Look at this. Puts it like this. Now listen to me. Listen to me very carefully. No one in the Bible was sprinkled. No one in his Bible was sprinkled with water. Everyone in the Bible in the New Testament church was baptized. They were submerged in water and they came out of it, including our founder, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. But in Mark 1:9, now this was the baptism of Jesus. And it says that he came from Nazareth and was baptized by John in the Jordan River. Amen. And it says in verse 10, straightway, he came up out of the water. Now, if he came up out of the water, guess where he was? He was down in the water completely. Amen. The Bible says he straightway came up out of the water. That means that he was down completely in the water. Amen. Amen. It was not convenient for Jesus to get baptized. And can I tell you that that's why people don't do it a lot of times? It's just inconvenient. It's just inconvenient. It's inconvenient. It's a little bit awkward. Listen to me. Jesus traveled from Nazareth to the Jordan River. It was 60 miles. It wasn't convenient for Jesus to be baptized. Jesus traveled 60 miles to be baptized. You know why? Because he knew that it was the will of the Father to be baptized by John the Baptist in the Jordan River. Amen. It was not convenient for Jesus to get baptized. It's inconvenient. You just had your hair done, ladies? Got that $200 hairdo? And you got to get in there and mess it up? No, thank you. I don't hear God speaking to me about that today. I get it. I get it. It's not convenient. I told you I'm talking to somebody. Somebody needs to hear this. It's not convenient to get baptized. Amen. I'm just telling you, it will never be convenient. It'll never be convenient. You go down, you get all wet, you come up, your clothes are all clinging to you, and come on. It's inconvenient. It's awkward. It's inconvenient. It's awkward. It's embarrassing. But it is what it is. But it is what it is. Sometimes God doesn't want it to be convenient. He told Naaman, the general who had leprosy, in 2 Kings 5:14, he said, get in the Jordan River and dip 7 times. And he said, oh no, God, there's got to be an easier way. I don't want to do that. And he said, and God said, listen to me. You do it my way, you get my results. So look at this. He dipped in 7 times. He came out and he came up and he had flesh like a little baby. God says, you do it my way, you get my results. Amen. He went down 7 times. He could have just dipped once and wouldn't have been healed. He went down 7 times and he came up with skin like a baby. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was leprous before. The point is, many times God does not make it convenient to kill your pride. I said, God does not make it convenient to kill your pride. Somebody better hear me. Hallelujah. Biblical baptism, it requires a lot of water. It requires a lot of water. The King James says they came to a certain water. It requires a certain amount of water. Amen. Requires a lot. The word baptism, it means to be submerged. It means to go under. Amen. All the early Christians were baptized. Did you know that? All the early Christians in the New Testament church were baptized. Even in the earliest cathedrals that they can find, even going all the way back to the 14th century saints, they found on these early cathedrals, they all had baptistries built in them because they wanted to practice what our role model Jesus taught us. All the early churches, they had baptistries in them because they knew how important it was. Amen. Amen. Now I want to give you this real quick. And I want to show you something, and then we're going to do this. Y'all ready? Huh? I got a few more minutes. I'm going to take them all. In Romans chapter 6. Now I want to show y'all this because it's important. In Romans chapter 6. It gives us a biography of your future. Okay? It shows your past. Watch. It shows your past. This right here. And it shows your present. And it shows you your future. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to show you what I'm talking about in this. Because he said this in Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 3. What he said. That we're baptized into Jesus Christ and we die. Look at that. He said that as now as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, we were baptized into his death. Come on, somebody. That we were baptized into his death. So when you go down, you are baptized into his death. What this is, guys, this is a watery tomb. Literally in God's eyes. Come on, church. This is literally a watery tomb in God's eyes. You are baptized into his death. When you baptize, you die, and the old you is being buried under the water, and we're about to have 20 funerals up here on this stage, and the only person that's going to be crying is the devil. Come on, somebody. The only one crying is going to be the devil. He's going to have his little handkerchief out. He's going to be grieving real bad. He's going to be saying, oh, I lost another one. Oh, I lost another one. Oh, there goes that old drug addict. Oh, there goes that old, oh, I lost another one. That's your past. That's your past. You're burying your past, church. Come on, somebody. Oh, he's crying. Crying. And then he says this in verse 4. Watch. Verse 4. He says, so we're baptized into his death. That's the past. Watch. And then we're raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And they come up. Watch. Notice this last part. In newness of life. Amen. That's your present. That's your present. Come on, somebody. He says they go down. They bury their past. And then they come up in newness of life. That's the present. You go down in your past, your shame, your guilt, your the power of the enemy, the defeat, the lies. You go down in that and you come up in newness of life. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just thank God for newness of life this morning? Can we thank God for newness of life this morning? Watch this. And then he ends verse 5 by showing you your future. Watch what I'm telling you. He ends verse 5, watch this, by showing you your future. He says, just as we've all been united together, watch, in the likeness of his death, we're all going to die. And then they're going to put us in the ground just like they put Jesus in the tomb. But we shall certainly be like in the likeness of his resurrection. Come on, somebody. And he's tying all of that to this baptism. He's tying all of that to this baptism place. Listen to me. That's your future. You bury your past, you come up in newness of life, and then when you die, you have resurrection power in you. And if the Lord tarries, one of these days, the trumpet is going to sound, and your spirit's going to go to heaven immediately, but your body will come up out of that grave. Come on, somebody, shout if you believe it. I'm telling you, that is your future. You have resurrection power. Woo! Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. The last thing I want to say to you about baptism. And this is it. We're about done, guys. I told y'all I was going to get through this. The last thing I want to say to you about baptism and why it's so important. Then we're going to get y'all wet. You ready? Watch this. It proclaims your identification with Jesus Christ. Come on. It proclaims your identification with Jesus Christ publicly. Amen. Publicly. Amen. It's like the wedding ring. This ring right here says I belong to Tara. She's happy. This ring does not make me married. Church, this ring doesn't make me married. I have a marriage certificate. We had a ceremony. We got 18 years of living together. I don't know how I did it, but we do. That's what made us married. That's what made us married. We made a commitment to each other. But here's what this does. It doesn't make me married, but it shows publicly that I am married. Right? Proclaims your identification with Jesus Christ. That's exactly what this is. Church, that's exactly what this is. This doesn't make you saved. You can go down a dry sinner and come up a wet sinner. It doesn't make you saved. Amen. There's nothing magical in this water that'll save you. It's straight out of the Constantine water tower. Okay, there might be something magical in it. But it ain't gonna save you. Listen, it's just water. There's nothing magical in that water that can save you, but it identifies with the fact that you belong to Jesus Christ, that he is your Savior, and you're going public with it, and you're going to go public with it this morning in front of everybody. Amen. Come on, you belong to him. You belong to him. That's what water baptism is. Amen. There was a little boy. Y'all ready? Y'all ready? Come on. There was a little boy, and he went to children's church. It identifies It puts you in identification with Jesus Christ. Come on, ain't this beautiful? Ain't this beautiful? Ain't this beautiful? Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. There's some of you that just heard me preach, and you're going to get baptized now too. Amen. Come on. Maybe you didn't even plan on getting baptized this morning. Going out there, we got stuff for you. What hinders you from being baptized this day? Come on, church. It identifies publicly that we belong to Jesus Christ. There was a little boy. There was a little boy. He went to children's church. And while he was in children's church, he felt convicted and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. And he prayed with the children's pastor. And the children's pastor hugged the little fella. And he said, "Now listen to me, little buddy." He said, "When you go upstairs to the big church," he said, "you go to the pastor and you tell him, I just got saved and now I want to be water baptized." And so he went upstairs and he went up to the pastor, and the pastor was sitting there shaking hands, and he broke the line and he pulled on the pastor's coattail and he said, "Pastor, I got saved this morning in children's church. I just got saved and now I want to be advertised." Oh, I love that. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I love that. Are y'all ready? Huh? And in this case, come on. And that's exactly what we're about to do, church. These guys are saying that I've had something internal, and now I want to go external with it. Come on, somebody. And I want to tell you, in case there's any devils out there that wants to bring up my past, I want you to know that they're new creations. The old is going to be gone. They're burying their past, and the new is going to come. Are y'all ready? Are y'all ready? Come on, let's go. Let's baptize some people.